Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From Los Angeles, the Big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the world-famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as seven other audio and video platforms, including YouTube and iTunes, where all our recorded podcasts and videocasts are saved for your later on-demand listening pleasure, including, of course, our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And if that's hard to remember, Caregiver Dave would also work, and Dave the Caregiver would work, and we got so many things that'll work to try to help you remember our website. Our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. We have an exciting show planned for you today. Unfortunately, none of my lovely co-hosts or backup co-hosts could make it today. Adrienne is still recovering from her knee surgery. Poor thing, she was doing so well, and then she tripped when the doctor told her to walk with a cane and split it open and had to do it all over again. Poor thing. The streets of Manhattan can be dangerous. Well, today we'll be interviewing a wonderful guest, Carolyn Olinger, speaking about seniors helping seniors. You will not want to miss this show. As I said, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and they're selfless and they're sacrificial souls. But they have this tiny little problem. They're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And we can learn something from the airlines who tell us that in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. Now, what an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first, not out of selfishness, which everyone thinks is a dirty word, but it's not. But out of survival, it's either you or them. So we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing that's nasty called the grief process. It could take days or weeks or months or years to get through it. Everyone is different. Some people never get through it. That's unacceptable. But unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. Can't go around it. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. You got to go through it. Sorry. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, they're kind of stuck. I do want to take this time and thank my last week's guest. Who was my last week's guest? Oh, Camille Superson, and she wrote an amazing book about how to save money, how to get free stuff, and I recommend you listen to that show. You will literally save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. She's the only one I've ever had on three times, so I highly recommend her book, because anyone who's complaining about money or they're not getting care or not getting any help, I immediately refer them to Camille, and they get taken care of. And just a reminder, you can listen to that interview and all of our interviews, including this one, right on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com, because I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. Caregiver with an S, caregiver without an S. Hopefully that's not confusing. Just an update on me. I'm headed to Tucson and Albuquerque tomorrow to be on number 21, 22, and 23 television morning shows. 5 book signings so far. I've been asked to speak at 4 events, all in Hawaii. So they're flying me back to Hawaii as if I didn't have enough time over there. I got to have some more time over there. Poor me. But enough of me. Enough of that. Let's welcome our guest, Carolyn Olinger. Welcome to the show, Carolyn. Are you unmuted? So excited to have you on the show today. Let's
Yes, I am
see.
now. Hi, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you very
Hi.
much. Hello. Thank you for letting me come on today. This is really a treat.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I usually like to have my guests introduce themselves. I say something like, just who is Carolyn Olinger and why were you put on this earth?
Okay, well, thank you. Well, I'm Caroline Olinger. I'm a native of St. Charles, Illinois. And after growing up in the area, went to the University of Illinois and then off to the Navy. And I was in the Navy for almost 30
Okay.
years.
Oh, thank you for
Mostly,
your service.
oh, you're very welcome. I finished up in the great state of Illinois near our Great Lakes Naval Base in 2013. Prior to that, I'd been mostly in the United States, went overseas to Naples, Italy for a couple of years, and early
Oh.
on in my career, I was in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, for a 1 year unaccompanied tour. And then after I retired in 2013, I decided to come back home to my Fox Valley area and look for a house. And my husband and I now reside in Batavia, Illinois. And after retiring for about a year or so, I got very bored. I needed something to do, and I wanted to find something that was would bring some value to the community. And I learned about Seniors Helping Seniors, which is a franchise, and I
So you
didn't
don't
know
look
anything
like a
about it.
senior.
Well, I'm getting there. I think my revelation or epiphany was after I retired, because then you have that big R after your name, and you are a retired person. And but I knew I wasn't done working or wanting to help others. So this particular opportunity really suited my desire to do something
Cool.
positive in the community. So,
I'm sure they appreciate you.
well, I think so. I know
Small
I
community,
hope.
isn't it?
Well, yeah, it absolutely is.
Everybody knows everybody.
And this is my home turf. So what's really neat is I had this opportunity to do this in my hometown, where I'm from a big family. I'm one of eight kids,
Wow.
and this was nice to sort of honor my parents' legacy. Both of them had passed away by the time I came home. Unfortunately, they had a terminal illness many years apart. But by the time I came back to my home turf, they had left a pretty good legacy. They were both lifelong teachers. And a lot of people remember them and the good things they did for the community. So I
Who were
wanted to
their
continue that.
caregivers?
Well, it was really my brothers. I'm again one of eight kids, so my brothers were in the area. They helped out, but they're boys, a little different, caring for your mother or father, but mother in particular. And my sister and I helped out quite a bit. I really have to credit my sister more than me because she was in the area. I was in the Navy, so I would come home when I could. So I was sort of dealing with this issue from afar, which was
Sure.
pretty agonizing. And then I got some time off from the Navy to spend their final days for both of them. Again, two separate periods of time, but at both times I was involved with the Navy, and they let me be at home with them. And at that point, it was 24/7
Wow.
until they passed on. So, but that was quite a memory for me. And I knew how much they wanted to be
Yeah.
home. And that's something that I always carried over. And another reason why this particular adventure I'm on as a Seniors Helping Seniors owner, I really recognize the value of keeping seniors in their home, aging in place or their final place.
So your parents had a part in that.
Oh, most definitely. Because I feel very strongly about honoring their wishes. And if they want to be in their home environment, their own bedroom, their own living room. I really get that, as opposed to a facility or a nothing against the local hospitals or homes, but there's something to be said about being in home, in your own home.
Yeah, what would you say to those people who are considering putting their parents or loved ones in a home? When do you know that it really needs to be done? And it's too hard, and it's costing you your health. What helps you to make it work when it seems like it won't work?
Yeah, I find I come across families who are in turmoil because they don't know what that trigger point is necessarily. You kind of know it when you feel it. It's one thing to read about it; it's another thing to be living it. So for every individual, it might be a little different. However, I found that when I'm talking to these families, I'm telling them I may not be the best solution for them or what my seniors can offer because we're non-medical, providers, and their loved one might need more help than that, which could be more costly. So there's a number of factors, as you know, that could tie into that decision. It could be finances, it could be the ability to provide the care that's really needed for that individual to be comfortable. And it depends on other factors, like if there's other health concerns in the home, or cannot be provided in that environment, and the receiver's wishes, the loved one's wishes. Some don't want to go through the going through the hospital and being intubated, being on our machines, and having that assist type of assistance. And I'm encountering that a little bit more too. But to kind of get to your point is, I feel that I'm a bridge, and it could be a bridge of time while the family's deciding what to do. And we try to offer that assistance, but it's just very difficult to put your finger on one particular element of when it becomes too much.
So you were
But
very fortunate in that you were able to do this because not everyone is that lucky. And how bad were they?
my parents, they had cancer. So at a certain point, and the difference in time was 1984 for my father to 2006 for my mother. A lot of things changed in the medical community since then and how to deal with palliative care. So really a big difference in that span of time. So what I saw as a 23 year old versus, a 40 something year old, very different eyes. And but when you're terminally ill with cancer, there's a point of the hospital really can't do anything for you. And again, I'm sure many of your listeners have heard that hospice can be involved. Palliative care becomes part of the care plan. You may have family members, you may have friends, you may have an agency, all of that involved in the final days. I was lucky, like you said, because my sister and I were able to be there. And we did try another agency, or an agency to help, but we did give it a try, but it just was not a good fit. And so you've got to figure out what's a good fit for your loved one, if it's you personally. But getting help is real important, even for respite. Very important to give yourself a break.
How is what you do different than other facilities, like a place for mom or these places that come and visiting angels, et cetera. There's a lot of
Sure.
franchises out there. You're a franchise, I assume.
Yes, and I'm really excited about seniors helping seniors because I don't see myself as a competitor with those other agencies, which are wonderful, I think. But what's unique about seniors helping seniors is that we have a model where you're bringing in a more mature provider or caregiver, someone who has life experiences, the wisdom. They've been through life, they've been through some of the trials and tribulations of aging, and they can really communicate and bond with that individual. So we offer a very, I think, a wonderful peer-to-peer model. And frankly, I've worked with some of those agencies with the same receiver or client because we do offer that unique aspect of caregiving. And it's just wonderful to watch the connection that they can make very quickly because of the age factor, for lack of a better word.
So what's the minimum or maximum age that they have to be before they can come and work for you?
Right. Well, I mean, it's really a good question. There really is not a technically an age, but in keeping with the model, we try to look for individuals who are in their 40s or older, typically retirees who are doing this as a way to stay active, busy, and bring in maybe some casual part-time work and some revenue for themselves. So, but I will
So you're
tell
not
you,
gonna
having
have
said that,
any, so you're not gonna have any 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds,
I could.
basically.
Technically, I could. And as a matter of fact, I do have two students that are working for me while they're going through nursing school in the area because they want to get some experience working with individuals. So I can complement my team with a couple younger people, which does come in handy, especially if there's any personal care or any transitioning or mobility assistance that's required. But generally speaking, I've got mostly 60 and 70-year-olds on my team, male and
Cool.
female. Yeah. And they love it. They love it. So I'm really excited.
So
Okay.
let's take a short break and we'll be right back. So don't go away. Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com. And we're back with Caroline Olinger and Dave Nassani. And so tell me, Caroline, you started this service, seniors, taking
Helping
care of
seniors.
seniors. And tell me a little more about what kind of comments are you getting from people about the service? I'm sure you're getting some feedback, right?
Oh, very much so. For the most part, we're getting tremendous feedback because I've been doing this now, I'll be 3 years as of April 1st. So in that short period of time, I put some testimonials on the website, but there really has been a response of thanking me for helping their mom, for example, just get some joy back into her life, communicating with another person, spending time with them, becoming their friend more than just a caregiver. And we've been able to really, I think, match personalities pretty well with an caregiver to receiver, so provider to receiver. I ask questions about the receiver's background. What did they do when they were younger? What were their hobbies, interests, likes? Where did they live? What did they like to eat? What kind of music do they like? And we would try to build a, I don't want to call it a care plan, but I would try to, match some of those qualities and aspects of that individual's life with one of my caregivers or providers. And I would find someone who knit, crocheted, they like jazz, they like certain foods, they went to the same school. I have an engineer, I match with an engineer. It's really neat what a senior helper can bring,
Wow, so you really do that. You try to match up the caregiver with the recipient. You take the time to see what their interests or their needs are.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody who's doing
I
that.
well, I not only interview the receiver, I interview the receiver's family. Because some of the individuals that need our services may not be able to articulate any longer what they used to do. So I usually will sit down with the family members as well. I want to know more about that individual. And that's first and foremost. And then I kind of go through, okay, I've got three or four of my helpers who would be a good fit. And then I bring them over to meet them in advance. I
Yeah.
want to make sure it's a good fit. And then I
What
let them.
percentage are having to deal with dementia and Alzheimer's?
Oh, at least half of my current
Hmm.
receivers have a form of dementia. And you know the spectrum, from highly functioning to where you cannot take your eyes off of that person. So I have that full range. I actually was not really prepared for that when I started out. I've had to learn, and I'm still learning. I am by no means an expert on forms of dementia and the different diseases of aging that we're encountering. I'm trying to get smarter on that. I am trying to do focus our training more on dementia care and Parkinson's. And I had a receiver who had aphasia. I didn't know anything about aphasia.
Yeah, my wife has that.
Oh, I did not know that. But
Yes.
it's
Post-stroke.
really, yeah, it's, I am learning. I
21
went,
years.
oh no, wow. Well, here I went from sailors to seniors, and I could tell you about sailors all day long, but I'm still on that learning curve with seniors, but
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing. I like learning. But I learn from the receivers as much as I do from my own providers.
Right.
I feel like I'm orchestrating, between helping seniors who want help with seniors who need the help but want the help. So it's a really terrific combination.
The interesting thing about aphasia is even though they can't verbally communicate, they can non-verbally communicate, through Pictionary and charades. Two games I hate, by the way, but I'm learning to love.
Yes, I mean, and we had to learn. I had gentlemen helpers with this particular gentleman, and after time, you do learn those nonverbal communication skills, which we all have, but we sometimes forget that we can do that.
Yeah,
And
we take them for granted, gestures and, motions and, like some people can do this, saying, what time is it? And some people can't. It just depends on
correct.
how bad their aphasia is.
Correct.
But how about
And
finances? How do you deal with the limitations of people's finances and how do they compare with other people who
Right.
do what you do?
Well, what I try to do is, I mean, there are some folks who cannot afford private pay no matter what. So I have a 2-hour minimum, which means I can have a helper come to your home for as little as 2 hours. Other agencies don't do that because I want to make it affordable, and I have no obligation, and there's no contract other than the agreement to give us permission to come into your home and to provide services. But I want to make it affordable, so even if they want one visit once a week, we'll do that. If they want every other week, we'll do that because this is my hometown. These are
Yeah.
folks that I
And
know, some of them.
I bet they look forward to that visit once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Exactly. But if they can't afford to pay private pay, I always ask the receiver or the family if they're a veteran, because as a veteran
Yeah.
myself, a lot of folks don't realize that they may be eligible for certain benefits. So I explore
Right.
that with them. I steer them in the right direction to that resource. It's very important, whether you're a veteran or surviving spouse of a veteran, to know what you're entitled to. And the third way, of course, is long-term care insurance or long-term
Yeah.
insurance, which I know that's kind of pricey, but those are the three means of paying for home services. But again, what I try to do is keep my minimums minimal and I keep my prices as low as possible so that more folks can afford our services, even if it's for a couple hours a week.
Does Medicaid work for you?
I don't do that at this time. That could be something down the road, but it's an elephant I'm not familiar with right now and how to make that work for me. But down the road, that may be something I have to look at, or if there's going to be new legislation which does allow Medicare to take for certain in-home services, which I understand is being kicked around in some states.
Yeah. So what does somebody who comes to work for you have to have a minimum amount of experience? I mean, what's the threshold for who you can work with?
Well, for me, I do the interviews myself. I do the training myself. And I use at-home training and an online training program. But if you came to me, for example, you look like you could be a great provider for me. So we would sit down, have a cup of coffee, and I would ask about your background. You do not have to have experience in home care or home health, but I look for a compassionate person, patient person, good sense of humor, and that you're fairly active. You don't have to be a muscle builder or have any special skills per se. But if you've got the right heart, the right attitude, and you're over 40, you may have a good shot at being on my team. But key to that is availability too. So I need to know if you're available to help me maybe 10 hours a week, maybe 12.
And you need to be breathing too, right?
You have to be doing a little more than breathing. You better have a good sense of humor, because we try to bring – you know, it's kind of a reality check having another senior come and help you out, you know, because they've been around, all right? So we look for some good humor and the ability to make someone laugh if you can, a good heart, volunteer spirit. Even though you're getting paid, it is a kind of a volunteer spirit you want to give.
That's a motive to a lot of seniors, because, you know, there's so many people have heard their jokes. They won't laugh at them anymore. It's like they need fresh material, not fresh material, but fresh meat to hear the old material. And that's a big
deal. It goes both ways. Let me tell you, there's a lot of receivers, you know, who have worn out their jokes to their family members. And
especially dementia people.
You'll hear the same joke time and again. That's a true thing. So you really have to be a patient, loving person.
So what about, I'm sure you've seen people digress in their dementia or Alzheimer's. Do you ever reach a point where you say, you know, I think this person needs to go into facility. I don't think this is serving his needs well or her needs well.
Yes, that has happened. And I try to be, you know, like I said, I feel like we're a bridge between the family and the receiver of our services, but at some point that bridge, it's not long enough. And there may be a point where the individual might be hurt, could be a danger to themselves, or they could be, actually, you don't, they might be an angry person. They might throw things. And when you get to that point, the family knows this too, typically. They're not blind to it. And they too will realize that it might be the individual be too difficult to get into the bathroom and to do those personal care things. It's just too hard for one person, and it becomes a two-person job, and then it becomes a three-person job, and there comes a point of diminishing returns on that individual's well-being. But yeah, I've seen it. We've seen that transition.
I'll place the person with resources that you are aware of, or you don't get involved with that?
Since I started getting involved in home care, I participate in a lot of networking groups. So there's two I belong to that are not for profit, but we get together and we create a referral booklet, or many hospitals and rehabs, they have referral lists as well. So if a family wants a referral, excuse me, I'll give them the book, or I can tell them what I know about other facilities if they ask me. I certainly have no problem doing that. I don't steer them to any one person. I just give them, here are your options. And in Kane County, which is my county, we have resource booklets that we share with families.
Yeah, so you're a resource center
Oh
as
yeah,
well.
sure. Yeah, there's a point where you may have to say goodbye. And it's really hard on a lot of my providers sometimes. They
Yeah, a lot of people think that paid caregivers are less compassionate than family caregivers, but that's not true.
That is not
Many of them
true.
go into depression when one dies or they have to leave or something like that.
Oh, I've had to, I did a lot of counseling in the Navy, but I've had to do that with some of my providers who are very sad. Yeah, when this happens, whether they pass away or move into a facility, and sometimes we even visit them while they're in the. My helpers will go into the facility even if they're not on the clock. They will stop by and visit with that person, or
Oh,
they'll
nice.
take them things. I don't even. It's just amazing the relationship that gets formed.
This is
It's really neat.
after the relationship ends, they
After
continue.
the business relationship ends.
Yeah.
Aspect of it, they continue their relationship. Absolutely. Going on now.
So, what are all these acronyms? ADL, SHS, LTC? I mean, it can get real confusing.
Well, SHS is Seniors Helping Seniors. I'm one of about 250 franchises that are nationwide now. Started in Reading, Pennsylvania in 1998 by Karen Yoakum, who was the founder. She actually worked for Mother Teresa for about 14 years when she was in India. She is originally from India, came to the States, started doing this out of her home, and then
So she
her,
founded it.
yes, that's correct,
And you're a
in
franchise.
98, yep, and it was a not-for-profit originally, and then in 2004, her husband Philip, the franchise guy, thought this is such a terrific model. And so from 2004 to now, there's about between 250, probably more than that now, franchises, but mostly started out on the East Coast. But they're even out in your way. They're out in California. So
I didn't know
I
that.
happen to be in Illinois. So anyway, that's SHS. ADL stands for Activities of Daily Living. So again, I think a lot of your listeners will know those are those things that where you can help an individual with those ADLs, such as meal prep, transportation, helping them with light housekeeping, companionship, respite care. There's a list of about eight of these that each state will recognize as it relates to home care and whether or not insurance will cover certain activities. So, I mean, there's more than that, but that's typically the non-medical assistance that a home services agency like myself can provide. There's a line, though, that's drawn in which if you go beyond some of these types of services that skilled nursing would get involved, that falls more under home health. They still would be able to do activities of daily living, but they do more. The Seniors Helping Seniors franchise and many other agencies like us focus on the non-medical activities of daily living. That extra pair of hands, eyes, ears to help that individual stay in their home safely, try to maintain as much independence as possible, and letting them age in place. So that's really kind of the big goal. And then you mentioned
Really
LTC,
flying
that's
high here.
long-term care. LTC is
Yeah.
long-term care. Like
And I
insurance.
have long-term care. I bought it when I was in my late 40s for $110 a month. It never went
Oh.
up until this year. It went up like 15%. So I consider myself lucky. I hope it doesn't continue to go up, but not everybody has it. My wife certainly didn't have it, and
Right,
it's nice to
right.
have. And what
You're
age do
right
you think
there.
they should get it?
Now, 50, 50.
It's still cheap enough in your 50s.
My husband and I just signed up for ours about 6 months ago. After looking at, well, through the lens of a home services agency owner, what I've seen in just my short time in this business, we signed up with a program because a lot of families are behind the curve in getting that set up for their loved one, or their loved one's already in their 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And they can't get it. So,
oh, yeah, that's way too late, or they can't afford it at that point.
Correct. Correct. So I like you, boy, you really you did this a smart thing years ago looking into that.
Well, it wasn't until my wife had a stroke that I realized maybe, because she had a stroke at 52.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's
and
way
now
too
she's
young.
73.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to take another break. Time is sure going fast here, so we'll be right back. Don't go away. Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiver'sCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiver'sCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
And we're back with Caroline Olinger and me, Dave Nassani. Let's talk about state requirements. I'm sure they're a challenge for any home service agency like yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, that's really a good thing. I think initially when I started this, I didn't feel that way. But the benefit of having an agency or providing oversight, of course, is to protect seniors themselves from perhaps exploitation, neglect, or abuse, and also protecting the employee with workers' compensation.
Abuse goes both ways, doesn't it?
It goes both ways. So even though as a business owner, you're like, oh brother, here comes big brother, you have to accept that because it really does benefit both sides. And you just got to live with it, work with it, and be in compliance with those regulations. So, and that there's a lot of regulations, but background checks, training for the individual. There's a minimum number of hours they have to have annually. You have to do performance evaluations on your providers. You have to do on-site supervisory visits to each and every home that you are involved in every 90 days. So a lot of those things create a management challenge because you have to do all this. I'm wearing about 5 hats running this business, everything from recruiting to the training, the on-site visits, the invoicing.
You only do that yourself or you delegate it?
I do that myself, but I do some delegation to some family members who are helping me. I have 2 sister-in-laws, thank God, that
are
helping me.
You have a husband too, right?
I do. When he's not flying a helicopter or a jet, He's a pilot, so if he's home, he's able to help me, and he's my handyman. So he's actually part of my Seniors Helping Seniors handyman services.
So nice to have a man around the house.
Well, if he's here.
So do you mean if one of your clients has something that needs fixing, you will actually send your husband down to fix it?
Yes, I will. He's a provider, so he's been through a background check, the training, and he can go in as long as it's not licensed or contracted work like electrical or plumbing. He's very handy. It might be screwing a cabinet door back on, helping them with proper lighting. It's a variety of things.
It's all included in the price of being there and being a caregiver.
Right. Well, sometimes I'll send him to go do it, and we don't even bill the client. We don't bill the receiver because they're already, they're on my team. So it's a perk.
Do any of your people like help out with cooking, like making a grilled cheese sandwich if they were hungry or something like that?
Oh yeah. Most of my caregivers or providers, I don't want to say they're chefs, but they're decent cooks. There's a couple that confess that they could barely use the microwave, but we work around that. But most of the time, if the family or the receiver wants us to make something from scratch, we'll do that. Something simple, not too complex, but if they need some, chicken, some pork chops, put a vegetable salad, we can do that meal or prep something for later so they can microwave it. Absolutely.
What if the sink is piled high with dishes and the laundry hasn't been done and the bed hasn't been changed, the sheets? You do all of that stuff too?
We do. We can. I will go in for an initial assessment. And if I do see that they're behind the curve on those basic things, we will offer to go in and help get that sorted out and then start
That's
the
part
service.
Of activities of daily
right,
living.
Right. That's part of the activities. Now, I will be honest with you, if they are in such arrears on those basic things, I may recommend a cleaning service go in first, and then we would come in, because we are not a cleaning service, but we'd help with the light housekeeping associated with that individual. So if the mom is living with her son's family in the same house, we focus on the mom and what the mom needs to, for her activity of daily living, not the whole clan, So,
do you ever run into hoarders?
Not quite like the ones I've seen on TV. I do. I call them stackers. They like stacking the newspapers. They like stacking things.
Pile.
Right. The business stuff all is within reach. So we do our best to make sure we can maneuver. But if they don't want us to move it, we don't move it. I'm not in there. I'm not a hoarding task force. So we do our best to work around it. And if it does get to a point where it's unhealthy or there is a problem, then I will talk to the family about that. And they may need professionals at that point that take care of those
Interesting questions. I don't know how long have you been doing this?
It'll be 3 years April 1st, because I retired from the Navy in 2013.
Probably not long enough to actually experience one of your senior caregivers progress and actually need care themselves and become your client. Has that ever happened? Or?
Yeah, actually, I did have one. That did get to that point. Yep. And she used our services for a short while, and then her family stepped in. So, but you're right.
You're the bridge.
I'm the bridge. I kind of see it both ways. And I think I mentioned already, my oldest provider is 88 years old. So I have to kind of keep an eye on both sides of the coin here, because I don't want to say no to a senior who wants to work. They want to contribute to the community in some way. And there are some limitations in some cases, but I really try to work around it, because I want a good team of compassionate, loving people. And we're not all perfect. So
So, does your group have a mission statement, something that comes from headquarters saying, this is the kind of people we want, this is the mission, this is the attitude, this is the vision we want for the group?
Well, there's some they do have some monikers or slogans. One is a way to give and a way to receive. And if you saw our logo, it's a circle with the arrows in it. Because by giving to others, you're receiving. It's the feeling my providers get is really profound sometimes. They feel a sense of purpose in that they're providing care to another individual. So they get as much from this activity or this job as the receiver who's getting a service. But it really is neat. And that's kind of the meaning of that circular logo. But so that's one theme. But as far as a mission statement, I would say for me to kind of put it in my own words, it's to foster a relationship between two people who are aging with a compassion, understanding, a loving relationship that understands the aging process, and they grow together. So to me, that's why I like this model. I like what I'm doing. If you ask me to work or to consider working in any other agency or in home services, I wouldn't do it. Because I wouldn't, because here I am in my hometown working with individuals, some of whom I've grown up with, and their families. The model is peer-to-peer. And I'm doing it out of my home office. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. And I think we're really making a difference in the lives of the receivers and the family members who are just blown away when they see how well their mom or dad reacts to this person. Because seniors get it, they get one another. So it's not, and nothing against a younger person, but it's not someone who's wants to be on their cell phone, or they want to play games on the iPad. Half my seniors don't know how to, they barely can work a cell phone, which creates
That's great.
challenges for me. I'm willing to overlook the time it takes for me to manage the schedule and everything, and the communication because the model works. It really works. It's fun to watch.
Was your community not served by this group before you came on board?
Nope. This is the first, well, I'm the third person to get their license in the state of Illinois for this franchise. And that's a whole nother story dealing with the
How
Illinois
big is your
local
area?
government. My area is, wow, it's actually quite large. I'm west of Chicago. I'm the furthest west of Chicago than the other two franchisees. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Fox River, but I would say my territory is probably, oh gosh, 60 miles by 40 miles. It's a big area. I cover three main cities,
Now, I've been
Tri-Cities.
on television in Rock Island, Illinois, if you know where that is.
Okay. Rock Island is west of us. Yeah.
Is
I'm
that
not
your
that far
territory
west.
or no?
No. I'm closer. I'm a suburb of Chicago. I'm about 45 miles west of Chicago. I don't know if you know where Aurora or Elgin are located,
I know
but that's,
where,
I'm in between.
I'm
I'm in
trying to,
Batavia.
I
Do you know
can't
where
think of this.
Fermilab is? There's Fermilab is in
So
Batavia,
someone
very
from
famous.
downtown Chicago, would you cover them?
No, but I have partners who can. I have there's again,
You're the suburbs.
I was the third, but there are four, and there's one of my partners, her name is Sylvie Hutchins, has the North Loop area of Chicago. And you just go to the website and you punch in your zip code, and it'll tell you if there's a franchise like Seniors Helping Seniors near you. But if you're in California or especially on the East Coast, there are more of these franchises.
So there's one in California, huh?
Oh
Southern California, Los Angeles.
Well, LA area, doing quite well.
Oh, I'll look it up. I've never heard of it.
Seniorshelpingseniors.com, and then you can punch in your zip code, and it'll tell you. Mine, I'm in the Fox Valley area, so that's how you can find us.
So what haven't I asked you yet that you would like to share or mention or speak more about what we spoke about briefly?
I do, if I have a moment. You had mentioned at the in your introduction about the caregiver and how to avoid burnout. Right. So if I may give you my two cents on that from what I've learned. Yeah. I would recommend to the families or to that primary caregiver that respite care is for them. Respite means they get a break. And my recommendation is that they should consider 2 to 4 hours a week. Just start it. Just try it, whether it's with Seniors Helping Seniors or another agency. You've got to try the 2 hours to 4 hours a week or maybe 2 visits a week so you can go work out. So you
just
can
for them.
go to the library, go to a movie. If you don't do
massage.
That, do it once or twice a week. You will have a very difficult time as time goes on. And it's not being selfish. They've got to stop. I mean, the guilt is, how do you overcome guilt? I felt it when I couldn't be home with my mom because I was in, I was in Italy, when she was diagnosed with cancer. But again, my recommendation, 2 visits by another caregiver to relieve you twice a week, 2 hour minimum. That's only 4 hours a week.
That is like a no-brainer.
They won't do it, a lot of them.
I know.
And some of it is
how
the
guilt. How much does it cost for a two-hour visit?
$44 for me. $44.
$44. My gosh, that's like a dinner.
It's right.
A dinner for
so
two.
That's why I say the other piece of this is when the receiver, mom or dad, they don't want anyone in their house. And the guilt gets placed on the caregiver, the daughter or the son, because they're bringing in a stranger, which is why I do complimentary visits to the home. I do complimentary introductions of my providers. Once we get past that point, then options all of a sudden are much more realistic. I don't even charge for that. So
you make it so
I know
easy.
That's difficult. Well, I try to because the family needs the help. The receiver needs the help, the individual, although they may not admit it. But you could feel the tension and the guilt when I walk in through the door. The daughter, the son, or the kids are just they're beside themselves.
I know whenever I talk about guilt, I bring up Sanford and Son and how, Fred Sanford was notorious for guilting his son, Lamont, for doing all sorts of things. And we have that little voice in our head. And, it's like, oh, it's a big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming for you, honey. And we fall for that every single time. We know we're being conned.
Right.
Don't listen to that voice because it's either you or them. Did you know 30% of caregivers die before their loved ones do? And 60% are hospitalized before their loved ones need a caregiver.
Correct.
That only leaves 10%. 1 out of 10 caregivers are what we would call healthy caregivers, good caregivers.
Right. Right.
And 90% of them are like, oh my gosh,
right.
Really?
So,
and it's avoidable. It's preventable.
It is preventable. And
it could only take 2 hours a week. Could save your life.
I would say 2 to 3 hours a week, or 2 to 4, I think, is what I originally said. If it's one visit or two, makes all the difference.
Oh yeah.
They've got to try it, and I know it's hard, but because if you
once
have
they do
a senior,
it one time, they'll get hooked. I'm I believe,
right,
so.
Right, and I tell them there's no obligation. Just give it a try. I don't like the word contract. That this is about trust. It's about a relationship.
And if they have a birthday coming up or Christmas or something, you should encourage people to buy caregivers a gift certificate for that 2 to 4 hours. That'd be a great marketing promotion for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I got to write that down. So,
yeah. You know?
But anyway, yeah.
Nobody turns down a freebie, you know what I mean?
Well,
and if you've got a loved one who's buying a gift certificate for their loved one, because, you know, Lord knows they've tried to get people to do it, and so you just hand them the gift certificate.
Right,
and,
right.
They know the money's been spent, so you know they're going to use it. Maybe out of guilt they'll use it. But hopefully we can break that cycle.
Exactly. And if they get to meet someone who's senior or a more mature helper, the connection can really be a terrific thing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
They connect right away. Yep. It's a good thing.
How can someone get a hold of you? What's your contact information?
If you want to go to my website, it's seniorshelpingseniors.com with a /, and then Fox Valley, because there's many of us. So I'm Fox Valley, which is located in Batavia, Illinois. And my phone number is 630-937-4246. So you can go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Fox Valley.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. And just want to say to all the caregivers listening, you know, you need to do this. I'm so tired of watching caregivers not outlive the ones they're caring for and be hospitalized, need caregivers themselves. And I mean, that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm going on number 23 television promoting my book. It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. This is all to save you from killing yourselves, okay? Because it's an epidemic. The baby boomers are getting older, needing more and more care, and the caregivers are getting fewer and fewer because they're burning themselves out. And it's you know, everything's upside down because the people who are supporting Medicare and Social Security are now outnumbered by the people who are receiving it. And so this is a crisis. Facilities, there aren't enough facilities to care for all these people. So it's got to come from the family and caregivers. But unless you learn how to care for yourself and take advantage of respite and realize that selfish should not even be in your vocabulary, you know, it's a lie of the enemy. So we'll see you again next week. Thank you again, Caroline, for coming
on
the show.
A pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.